The goal of this work is to be able to have consistent performance in Flash. And we know that there's modern applications that require consistent, predictable performance. Some require high throughput, others low latency, some combination of those. A good example of that, and generic one, is virtual storage, so storage for VMs, where workloads end up being random. So to achieve that, there's different options that we have. There's memory. It's expensive for primary storage for most cases. It can be unnecessarily fast, if there's such a thing, but it's still expensive. And then there's hard drives, which are slow and unpredictable for random workloads. So finally, there's solid-state drives for flash in general, and they appear to be good in the sense that they have that balance between cost and performance. And they're not quite predictable, as we will see, but they're fast. So the question I was asking was, can we achieve predictable performance for storage efficiently? So the outline of the talk is, first I'm going to show you some results showing that performance in SSDs can be unpredictable and is often unpredictable. Then I'm going to show you a design to make SSD storage predictable, first by a very basic solution with two drives and replication. And then I'm going to generalize that solution to any number of drives. And finally, I'm going to show you some results. So performance and predictability. So when you do reads on a drive, on an SSD, in this case, 256 kilobyte reads, you see that in the x-axis is time, y-axis is number of IOPS, in this case, just reads. We see that the performance is high and stable. But as soon as you do writes, you see that after some point, the performance will drop because of the garbage collection and internal operations of the SSD. It cannot keep up. So then the performance drops and it becomes unpredictable. Now, if you zoom in into that graph and look into the response time between arrivals, sorry, the time between responses, these are just 2 seconds. We see that there's those blocking events that happen pretty frequently. And those events correspond to 60 milliseconds of blocking time. So any request that is queued up is going to have to wait for 60 milliseconds whenever this happens. And this happens a lot. So if you look into 1 second of this graph, out of the two, you see that there's about 10 points. And so in total, it's 600 milliseconds out of a second being given for that blocking time. So as you would expect, if you mix reads and writes, now reads are going to be blocked because of that. And that's something we don't want. So in this case, I'm showing you mixed workloads. We have reads and writes. And then we just have a few writes. I set the rate to be pretty low. And then most of the requests that go to the SSD are reads. And we see that the reads are affected by the writes, and their throughput varies. And I'm going to show you the same experiment in a CDF graph to see that the number of read operations varies from almost 100 to 400, and then the writes vary as well. So if we didn't have writes, then we wouldn't have variance for the reads, but now we do. So we want to solve this problem. We want to make the reads consistent while not affecting the writes. So to do that, we tried different heuristics. Some of them work on some devices. They didn't work on other devices. It depends on the workload. It's very unsafe to say that we have that heuristic and it works the way we want it. So what we said is, let's physically separate the reads from writes. So whenever you do reads on one drive, you cannot do writes, and vice versa. So to do that, the simplest design we came up with was to have two drives at the bottom, two SSDs, and at the top we put a cache. And whenever a read comes, it goes through the cache. And if there is no hit, then it's scheduled to go to the drive that is, at that point in time, in read mode. In other words, it's the drive that is serving the reads. and it doesn't serve writes during that part of time. So whenever a write comes in, it goes to the cache, it stays in the cache, and the drive that is in write mode is performing the writes that arrived at the cache when it was a read SSD. So after some time, those drives will switch roles, and the drive that was reading will start writing, the one that was writing will start reading, and that's to make sure that we sync up those two drives. Now, the difference between those two drives is always in the cache. So any data that you write is available at any point in time because there's always a reader, and you can always write because there's always the cache and the writer. So in terms of consistency, we have that if you take the union of the cache with any of the two drives, you have the same data as if you took the cache unioned with the other drive. So this gives a consistent view from the client's perspective. Then there's issues about, if one drive goes faster than the other, even if they are of the same model, this could happen temporarily. We have to make sure that there's a throttling mechanism that does not allow that. In other words, we have to make it behave as if you had RAID 1 with two drives. The performance will be equal to that of the slowest drive. And then there's the issue of power failure. Of course, if there's power failure, then we have data in the cache, we're going to lose that data. So there's either the approach of having a battery-backed cache in VRAM, or you have to have a mechanism that will prevent that, such as writing synchronously to the write drive while you're flashing writes from the previous period. And this approach has more challenges, and we discuss about that in the paper. But for now, let's assume that we have that battery-backed memory. And then the other issue that you might think is that now we have twice the drives, it's like having twice the cost. That's not a good idea. Certainly, this is it appears as a problem, but on the other hand, we know that whatever SSD you get, you can get the cheapest SSD, you're going to have good, consistent read performance if you only execute reads. And the writes happen in the background to the most part. So over multiple seconds of time, you're going to have the same total throughput absorbed from the write drive. So you can have cheap SSDs. The other thing is we don't need to have this design. This is the simplest design. You can have multiple drives distributed, or you could have you could use another redundancy method such as erasure coding. So let me show you how we generalize this design. Instead of two drives, you could have any number of drives. In this case, I'm showing you eight drives. And instead of switching between modes, for each drive, we have what we call a sliding window, which just says whatever is inside that window is supposed to only receive reads, and everything else is flashing writes to the drives and receives new writes. So after, let's say, 10 seconds or something in the order of seconds, we move that sliding window so that the absorbed writes by the caches on each node or each disk is flashed to the disk itself. So a little bit about write. So when a write comes in, say the controller, we will split it into pieces. If you do replication, it will create replicas. If you do erasure coding, it will split it into chunks, and will send its chunk to the RAM of its node, which doesn't have to be a node. It could be part of the same node, of course. So then the nodes that are in write mode are going to flash to the device, either immediately or later. And the ones that are reading are going to keep the data in the memory. So the reading nodes accumulate writes in their cache. Now, when the sliding window moves, certain amount of data is flushed from the memory to the drive at each step. So some performance implication of this method is when you use replication, you can adjust the window to whatever size you want. Now, a problem you might think is that if you have a certain number of readers inside that sliding window and you don't have enough writes, then you're going to have a lower, your system will be less utilized because your system is available for more reads, but you're not doing enough reads, and the same for writes. And that can be addressed by dynamically adjusting your window. And I'll show you an experiment with that. So the evaluation. So this is what we saw before with mixing reads and writes on the same drive. And that was with a low rate of writes. So not many writes, but still we got a bad variance from the device. Now, if we have two drives and we do the replication, we get something like this, which is we see that the reads is a flat line. So we achieve consistency for the reads, and the writes are behaving as before. And if you look at the CDF of that, you would see that straight line almost for the reads. So more like 95% of the reads achieve their maximum performance, and then the writes behave as before. So I've showed you mostly small requests, and the same thing can happen for large requests. This is 4 kilobytes for small requests, and we get the performance for the reads we would get if we didn't have writes, and the writes behave as before. We ran some experiments with the traces. So in these two plots, I'm not plotting throughput. I'm plotting the time between responses, essentially. So on the left, and I only look into 20 seconds of the execution. Those are just 20 arbitrary seconds. And on the left, we see that there's all those high latency events that happen that are around 100 milliseconds. And on the right, where we separate the reads from the writes physically, we almost get none. So we ran some experiments with more than two drives. This is without Rails. And we ran the same workload without and with Rails. And on this graph, we see that the reads are being affected by the writes. Their performance is very slow until the writes complete in this particular workload. And then the device, all devices can be used to serve reads. So in this case, the sliding window was 2, which means that we were giving 2 drives for reading at every point in time, and 1 for writing. Now, if we use Rails, then we see that the reads complete really fast. So I should say that those two streams of reads and writes are independent with each other. So the reads complete because they always have the throughput of 2 reading drives. And then the writes complete after 600 seconds instead of 800 as it was before. So there's more details in the paper, of course, for all of this. The conclusion is that solid-state drives are fast, but they lack consistent performance under read-write workloads. Modern applications require that. We have consistent performance in many cases, and that we have low latency consistently. Rails uses redundancy to separate the reads from writes physically, and it provides read-only throughput and latency for reads, and you get at least as good performance for writes as before. Thank you.
I'll start with a question that I sort of wonder about. That is, this work is very interesting. It depends on some important characteristics of flash reads and writes. That is, writes are more variable in terms of performance, and they interfere between themselves. What is your understanding about the future trends of flash storage in terms of these characteristics? Are they going to be more sort of pronounced in the future? Because, you know, in your paper, you actually mentioned one of the most recent drives actually exhibits less of the problem mm-hmm. that motivates your work.
Yeah. So we talk about that drive in the paper. We actually have a graph showing its performance. So that drive, as we say, is a lot more expensive. So it might be, I think, four times more expensive. Probably it incorporates more hardware inside. So I think that even in the future, these become more common. So I've only found this one drive for now. But even if they become more common, they will be expensive. I believe that even if that happens, there will always be an incentive of having something cheaper that will have this problem. And it will be cheap enough that it will be better to buy that white box, in a sense, device that is cheap and build this thing by yourself using software, as opposed to getting some black box, very complicated, expensive SSD that will not have this problem as much. And then it's also that if you did that, then you wouldn't be able to use your resources as efficiently. Because now you can get those very cheap SSDs and in the future, or build them in the future, and then you can distribute them and use them in a smart way that would allow you to get this nice consistency and also utilize your resources efficiently, as opposed to having more hardware within a black box that's not fully utilized.
Peter Desnoyers, Northeastern. It's definitely interesting. One thing I was curious about, so one thing you talk about in the paper is, you know, sequential write after random write. You know, several of the Intel drives, which are known to be page mapped, have a problem with that, whereas a large number of other drives with a slightly different, you know, FAST-like organization don't have a problem with that. There's at least one other parameter I've observed, you know, background garbage collection after random write, which might have an effect on this approach. I'm wondering, you know, to what extent is this vulnerable to, you know, unknown factors within the, you know, firmware implementation? In other words, it's essentially, yeah, a black box approach to trying to factor out problems underneath.
So you're saying whether this method would be affected by
yes.
change? Yeah, so what assumptions we're making and whether they would yes. change?
Right, so yeah. In particular, you know, one assumption here is that once a write is completed, it's fairly soon afterwards, it's safe to start reading from that mm-hmm. drive.
Yes, so we do make, so when, I should emphasize that when we switch after a fair amount of time, which means multiple seconds. So we've seen in drives that if you switch after, if you switch every 5 seconds, you're gonna get a lot of variance right after you switch, and it will stay there for maybe a second or 2 seconds. And we've seen relatively newer but not good chip drives that don't have that, and you can switch every 5 seconds and it's fine. So as long as you don't switch fast, it looks like some decent but cheap drive will be behaving nicely. Now, I would hope that it will remain like that in the future so that we can do that. And if it didn't, then I wonder whether it would create problems without even using this approach. So I would hope that it continues anyway, because even if you didn't do this, if you didn't use this method, then it would mean that all your reads after your writes, and maybe your writes too, will be interfered more by the previous writes. So I would expect that this shouldn't happen.
Okay. But, thank you.